Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. The Soul of Business with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Soul of Business on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. Today I am joined by Ang Si Peng, Director of HR for the APEC region Worldwide Technology. We talk about the release of a recent survey by the Singapore Chinese Chamber of Commerce and Industry on gender issues in the workplace and what it means for us here in Singapore. Si Peng, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Clarissa. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Our pleasure. Now, maybe we get right into it and give us an overview of the key takeaways of this rather important survey.
Some of the key highlights that's notable are 4 in 10 women actually encountered gender discrimination at work, and only 12 of them actually reported such gender discrimination. And more women actually wanted to pursue a career that allows them to attain work-life balance compared to the men. And interestingly, more women than men actually share career aspiration or higher financial reward and to be able to use their strength and skills to advance their careers. Whereas for men, then women inspire to resume a leadership role. So these are very interesting data to really help organizations to look into the policies as well as the work towards creating a genuinely inclusive and supportive environment for everyone. And I really happen to see that the government is also looking at the matter so closely, and forward-looking organizations like SCCI really understand the importance of uplifting women. So I think this report is really timing to showcase the government and all the well-established organizations that more emphasis is required to close the gender gap in Singapore.
Okay, now let's look deeper because this is actually quite disturbing to me. 4 in 10 women encounter gender discrimination at work, but 12% who face that gender discrimination made reports. All of them were women. It's like, why are we not speaking up for ourselves? What are those percentages actually telling us?
When you look at Singapore, we do want to pat ourselves on the back that, yes, over the years, we have done a good job, but there's still a lot of work that needs to be done to gain that level playing field for women, promoting gender equality. However, there's some persistent issue, and I think those issues may be around 3 main areas: compensation, society expectation of women, and harassment at workplace.
Okay.
So if I look at the first one, compensation, in fact, recent survey by the women welfare group, AWARE, they found that women actually earn a staggering $640,000 less than their male counterparts over a 40-year career. I think we do need to look into some of the pay gap, especially for men and women that are having a same job rank for task. And the second part on unpaid care work and expectation on women. Women are still very much a sort of expected to be responsible for a lot of matters at home, especially in Asia, right? When there's a need for help at home, maybe childcare or taking care of elderly parents. I wouldn't say all, but a lot of them take that first step to step up, say, I will do it. So I think there is a societal expectation on women. So it is important for organizations to recognize that, and how are we giving that support to enable women to strike a balance both at the workplace as well as at home. So thirdly, on harassment at workplace, I think it is very important to have a framework that enable women to come forward and report any harassment, and having an effective no retaliation policy so that they will feel protected and not have been backlash or having any effect on their career when they report that. I think those are very important.
Okay, 3 very important aspects of it. Now, remuneration is an age-old question. You know, should a woman get paid as much as a man? She's going to take maternity leave. She's not going to take the job so seriously. Once the children come, she may quit. You know, whatever the old excuses were before, I think there are some residual throwback to that for some people. The second thing that you talked about is actually very, very interesting. that is where maybe the biggest attitudes should shift. Why is it that the woman is, you know, it's, oh, well, she's the one that's going to step out and go take care of an aged parent or a young child she needs to rush and pick up from school who's fallen down or something like that? Why does it have to automatically be the female parent? Why can't it be daddy coming out of a board meeting, for example, to go do that? You know, I think there, it more than employers, it's even society in general that really needs to shift that thinking. Although I've been on the receiving end of that. Employers have used that as an excuse for me to be passed over for a promotion. But you got young children, what? And so does my male counterpart.
Yes, absolutely. You're so right. I think it takes a while for people to, you know, change, have that mindset shift. But I think we are getting there.
Right.
I'm positive. I'm very optimistic about that.
It's good that we are. And I have to say that I do work in an environment now where that attitude has shifted. I have just as many women bosses as I do male bosses, for example. So I think that thinking is shifting in a lot of Singaporean companies, which I think is where we need to see those mind shifts.
Yep.
Now, there is a strong push towards digitalization and technology, but the tech industry is one of those industries that is viewed as a rather male-dominated one. What do you think can be done to create a more conducive and inclusive environment for women in this sector?
I think this gender imbalance does demonstrate that gender stereotyping do still exist. So the tech and engineering industry is still very much perceived as a more masculine industry. And I feel that change needs to start really from re-educating people on the importance of gender diversity. Mm-hmm. It's really to promote a wider understanding and acceptance that a diverse and gender equal workforce really bring about more goodness than anything. So with the right intention and support, eliminating those biasness and stereotyping about women in tech or engineering industry, I feel will help to cultivate a more diverse and creative workforce. So in the end, it still will come back positively to the organization. And in my capacity as a HR professional, I consciously always try to create a greater awareness by profiling our female executives and engineers within the organization. And so that people do recognize that regardless if you are a male or a female, we are all individuals who can display high performance driven by intellect and commitment and to achieve good results for the company. I think there are a lot of ways to build a more conducive environment for women. For example, setting policy around flexible working, which we discussed earlier, mm-hmm. having equal pay. What are the parental supports that we can give to women and even men alike? And also career development, what are the career development that we can put for employees and some of the employee assistance, what are the assistance that we can provide for our employees. So I believe that such a scheme needs to be dynamic and it must be adjusted based on the employees' feedback that we collect frequently collected and adjust to adapt to the emerging needs of the workforce.
Okay, we're speaking with Ang Si Peng, Director for HR for the APEC region, Worldwide Technology. Now, Worldwide Technology, or WWT, was recently recognised as a great place to work in Singapore, coming in third in the small workplace category. More than 89% of WWT employees gave it high rankings to the company for rewards, atmosphere, communications, bosses and challenges. So you must be doing something right.
Thank you very much. Yes.
So what can you share about the initiatives that have been put in place that leads your employees to feel this way?
You know what? It's not just one person. It's not me. It's not just the leadership. It's really every single one of the employees within the organization that make this a great place to work for all. Mm-hmm. And in WWT, people have always been the heart of our operation. And we are really humbled to be recognized as a great place to work in Singapore, and absolutely grateful for the commitment and dedication of our workforce in Singapore that make this a great place to work for everyone every day. And our culture is no doubt the key to our success, and our core values, the path, continue to be the center of what we are doing over here. And the great emphasis is really to nurture an engaged workforce, and also encouraging our employees to continue to innovate. And to do that, it's really a diverse workforce is very, very important for us. And we strongly believe that building that culture of inclusion by embracing diversity of people, not only for people, of ideas as well, across the board, that will strengthen our culture. And some of the various initiatives and programs that we have put in place to bridge some of this gender gap. And we are, again, proud and humbled to say that we are being regularly recognized as one of the top places for women to work in. So some of the initiatives that we have put in place, for example, we have set up the Women Employee Resource Group called LEAD, which really creates a platform for female employees to learn, empower, and amplify their voices to drive opportunities for women, not only for our employees and also for the community where we work in. Another very important initiative that I personally is very proud of, that we are starting, embarking on initiating pay transparency and career framework across multiple functions within the organization, which I think it is very important and also a step towards creating that equality across the whole organization.
You know, after this interview, you're probably going to get a few resumes sent to you.
I hope so. Yes, yeah. That will be great.
A great place to work. I want to work there too.
Welcome. Send directly to me.
All right, now let's talk about something very important. What aspects are of the biggest and most urgent concern, do you think, with regards to the government-led review on issues affecting women announced back in September 2020? What are, like, some of the most immediate things that employers should be looking at?
I strongly believe that there's a need to tackle a couple of issues ranging from hiring to creating an equal opportunity for everyone, regardless, not only for gender, for race, for different age or religion, or even different political views.
Sure.
But I think one of the top issues that I think a lot of organizations or even the government probably need to look at on how do we deal with sexual offenses in the workplace. What are some of the concrete steps we are going to take to address things like gender wage gap? Mm-hmm. How do we encourage women to voice out and to create a more diverse inclusion society for all Singaporeans? So by taking a hard look at female representatives across Singapore and examining our success so far, how have we been doing? Like I mentioned earlier, we have moved on so much. But is it enough? Do we need to do more? Some of the questions that we have to ask ourselves.
Okay, now I'm going to play devil's advocate here, okay? One of the findings of the survey revealed that more women want to pursue a career that allows them to attain work-life balance, 59.1% to be exact, compared with the men who agreed with that statement to the extent of 49.6%. Do you think that this is in any way one of the things that contributes to the discrimination at work that women experience, say, in pay parity or potential promotions?
That is a great observation. And yes, I would say that it is one of the underlying factors. Despite the moves to encourage shared responsibilities within household, which in Singapore we have the shared parental leave, mm-hmm. that really trying to help to recognize that childcare is not only the responsibility of the mother, it is of the father as well, which is a move that I personally feel that is great. But we probably need to look into the earlier topic where we talk about in the society, household matters still perceived as being the main responsibility of the women. So I think providing the supports, both at home as well as at work, are equally important. So that women do not feel that they have to shoulder all the burden at home. And as employer, what can we do to eliminate some of the gender biases? Like just now you were talking about, oh, you had children, right, at home, so you probably won't be able to contribute so much.
Exactly,
time.
Exactly.
Yeah, but what are the flexibility that we can give to our female employees? Let's face it, it is about the productivity, about the result that anybody can bring on to the table for the success of the company. It is no longer about how long you're sitting at your desk. I know we have female employees that really appreciate that flexibility, whereby, you know, if a child were to fall ill, the school were to call, they can go and pick the child up and continue the work in the evening when a child is sleeping. So some of this flexibility that we can give to our female employees so that they can have that balance both at work as well as at home.
Right. Okay. Now, so what I'm coming away from with what you're saying is actually twofold. It's like, on the one hand, it shouldn't be held against a woman who wants to be those things, wants to live up to the responsibilities at home, but still also wants to have a career. First of all, that shouldn't be held against her that she has kids or she has responsibilities in the home. And second of all, that flexibility should come from the company as policy, because at the end of the day, you're talking about productivity.
Yeah.
So the nice thing about, you know, the nicer thing that came out of COVID was, with this whole work from home environment that we lived in for a year, it showed that people can be, you know, they can be productive and still live up to their responsibility. So it's given us a whole different perspective on how many hours you need to be in the office versus how many hours are you producing in your job.
Absolutely.
That's the only thing that I'm happy about with COVID, because I've been saying to my bosses for years, I work better at home.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, personally, for me, I get to see my kids more. Really, I get to eat lunch with them, I get to eat dinner with them, which I'm not able to do before, right?
Absolutely. So. But that doesn't mean that our productivity levels are dropping at all. In fact, they're probably increased. Okay,
yes.
That's actually a very interesting thing. That I think another survey is going to come out to see how productive people actually are with this new work from home, work from office hybrid that we're all now in.
Yeah, I'll be intrigued to see.
It'll be very interesting to see. Now, we've had a great conversation. I've been speaking with Ang Si Peng, Director of HR for the APAC Region Worldwide Technology. Si Peng, thank you so much for the information and the insight. I've had fun.
Thank you. Thank you very much. My pleasure.
I'm Clarissa Montero for the Workday Afternoon. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.